You know that right now, there's lots and lots of room for questions. Normally, by the end of the show, we don't get to them all. So jump in as soon as possible. Press 1 on your phone. And if you do it soon, I promise we'll get to you. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. Today is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about everything health, food, fitness, nutrition, diet, lifestyle, exercise, training, drugs, supplements, disease, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. We're going to get to those calls in just a little bit. Kim, welcome.
Hi, Kevin. Glad to be here.
Great to have you here. So, you know, we've been talking a lot on the trucking and business side of things of all the change that's going on. It's been like my topic for about a year and a half now. And it's funny because a couple of years ago, I made the comment a couple of times, boy, I'm really glad I don't do a trucking news show because I read newsletters for trucking every day and there's nothing to talk about. I mean, most of the news I would scan in the trucking newsletters, just plain boring. You know, like this corporation hired this person or, I mean, stuff that just was barely worth reading. So that's all changed. Every day in trucking now, you know, something is changing. There's something going on. But the interesting thing is I'm also starting to see that more on the health side. So some of the changes I'm seeing, I posted another big study today. And these are, you know, we never used to see really well done studies on natural ways of healing. And when you talk to the doctors and if you ask them, well, what about this food or this nutrient? Or they'll say, there are no studies. That's always their answer. There are no studies. Well, now we're starting to see studies very well done on natural ways of healing. The one I posted today is pretty interesting. It's about using a paleo AIP diet. So AIP is autoimmune protocol. It's been designed for people with autoimmune conditions, which now there are over 100. And this one, you know, uses a paleo AIP. So high quality, you know, really good ingredients, eliminates all the things you should have on paleo. And they did a test, a study, pretty in-depth to see if it would work for IBD, which is like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. And the results were pretty amazing. Really good results, like 73% of the people trying it saw symptom relief in a very short period of time. And, you know, no side effects from the normal, really harsh drugs they use for these diseases, which are, they're what we call biologics, and they suppress the immune system because, and they use them for all the autoimmune conditions, which is kind of crazy, but that's what's happening in an autoimmune. Our immune system is overactive and it's attacking the body and the tissues. So they use these really powerful, really expensive drugs with tons of side effects to suppress the immune system. But there's side effects to that. And I just saw a report, tuberculosis, they have a breakout in Portland. We're seeing more of that because it's our immune system that keeps us from getting those kind of things. Tuberculosis, even some forms of cancer. And now we're seeing those diseases increasing because so many people are on these immunosuppressant drugs.
That's scary.
Yeah. And instead, we can just change the way we eat and see results, no side effects, and none of those other dangers. So it's interesting that we're finally starting to see some pretty high level testing on that. We're also seeing, you know, some of the medical community come around to that, you know, maybe nutrition could be a part of this. It's just amazing to me how I was even watching Dr. Phil yesterday, which I actually like Dr. Phil. There's some pretty good lessons there. The one thing that drives me crazy, though, he'll always do these little segments at the end of his show about somebody with some sort of a condition, a medical condition. And the person they always bring in is, it's a woman, and she's the chief medical officer at Pfizer. So, you know, yesterday they were talking about eczema and this child that has eczema, and he gets teased, and because it, you know, it looks bad. And they went through this whole list of all the things you could do. Not once was nutrition or diet mentioned.
That's insane.
Yeah. Not once. And we know that eczema can be completely eliminated with a good diet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. So, you said there's a commercial out right now that is, but it was for a drug. But, and they, the, you know, the girls, you know, say it's fine. And they're at a restaurant. She pops up this iPad, her friend, you know, and shows that, didn't you know that, you know, now they're saying that it can be under the skin, inflammatory issues. But they did that to back the drug, of course, instead of, you know, wouldn't it be interesting? Because we know that diet and food can help that, you know, just even better.
Yeah. So maybe we're finally starting to see a little bit of a shift. It's not going to make it to the mainstream anytime soon, if ever. The other thing I saw, which is actually a little scary, there's a trend now for food manufacturers. Remember, if it requires a manufacturer, it's not real food. The big food companies are starting to put more fat back into their processed food and trying to lower the amounts of sugars. That may sound like a good thing, but it's really not. The fat that they're going to put in there is garbage. Yeah, it's all processed. It's all garbage. It's all oxidized and damaged. So now you're going to have people eating probably a high fat, high carb diet, all of it processed and damaged. Things could get worse, actually. So the real answer is don't eat food that needs a manufacturer. You know, eat real food, because that stuff's still going to be garbage. And all they're doing is capitalizing on a trend. They see the evidence that we should be eating more fat. They'll throw it back in their food, but it'll be garbage and nobody's going to get any healthier. I guess lowering the sugar, if they actually do it enough, may have an impact on weight and diabetes, but we'll probably end up seeing more heart disease with all the, you know, poor quality oxidized fats. One of the other areas I'm seeing a big, big change in, I'm doing a lot of it myself right now, the home testing market is just exploding, which is really exciting to see that you can do all kinds of medical tests now and you don't need a doctor. So there was a company on Shark Tank a couple weeks ago, and that's their whole model. They are developing lots of home health tests that don't require a doctor. So I'm trying one. They have a combination test, and it's the typical, you know, poke your finger, do a blood spot, send it back. So much better than going to a lab and screwing around with all that. And you got to pay a doctor's office, you got to pay a lab. Here, you order the test, it shows up at your house, poke your finger, send it back. The one I just took is a combination vitamin D and inflammation. So they're testing for both.
Okay.
So I'm waiting to get my results back on that one. We have
a new test available.
Go ahead.
Real quick, So, you know, I know how we talk about testing and that kind of stuff. So what would you say to people if they see this whole list of all these tests available, you know, now home and easy, what would you say to people about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So here's the way I would do this. I would start with the NutriQ. You know, we learn so much from the NutriQ about what somebody's primary issue is. You know, what's the most pressing thing? And from the NutriQ, you know, we'd be able to recommend, well, you should do this test, because you don't want to do them all. You could spend a fortune. I mean, most of these tests are going to be coupled to several hundred dollars a piece. So you don't want to just take them all, because there's all kinds. But I would use it as, you know, take the NutriQ. We still recommend, you know, either a very strict paleo or keto diet as a way to get started. Those two diets fix so many things in so many people that do that first. You may not need any of this testing right away. And by taking the NutriQ, getting on a really clean diet first, then maybe retake the NutriQ, then we know what's left over that maybe we need to address. And that might point us in the direction of which test should we take first. I'm going to get to a break. We'll come back. I'll talk about some of the testing I'm doing, and I'm about to embark on a pretty big experiment. So I'll talk about that when we get back. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. Kevin Rutherford. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The number to join us, 8888 Road Dog. Kim, you know, one of the tests we still recommend up front. You know, I would, for a lot of these tests, you know, maybe we wait, maybe we work on the NutriQ, get your diet nice and clean. That helps really identify what the top problems are. But there are a couple that you could clearly do right off the bat. The fit test, still a great test. I mean, we learn a lot. And if you have a lot of food reactions, you need to get those out of your diet to get good results. That same company that we work with on the fit test has a new test now that I'm pretty excited about. I just got my results back on mine. It's called a zonulin test. And zonulin is a protein that will show up in your body. Zonulin is one of the best indicators of leaky gut. If you have a lot of zonulin, you probably got leaky gut. And that's what this test is for, which is really nice that we can actually do a very accurate test for leaky gut at home now. So I took mine. The good news is on mine, I was in the optimal level. Barely, kind of optimal was 1 to 6. And if you're in the optimal level, you virtually have no leaky gut that's causing any problems. 0.4. So I was right there in the optimal level, which is good news. I fully expected that. I mean, I don't have any other signs of leaky gut. My fit test comes back with very little on it. But another really nice test. I think a lot of people do have leaky gut. And we know we've worked with a lot of people and helped them. We have the kit in the store if you do have it. We've got a whole kit to fix it, but now we have a test for it. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking forward to seeing what some people, you know, because we've worked with a lot of people that it comes out leaky gut on their fit results too. But this shows you the level, and that is amazing, you know.
Yeah. It, like I said, zonulin is the number one indicator for leaky gut. Now we can do a quick test at home and see, you know, what exactly where you are. There's actually like four levels optimal, and then it moves up from there. The other test that, and I've talked about this, is that year-long program that I'm doing with Viome.
Yeah.
So I have my second test here now. I'm going to do that this week. This is the one I dread because it has that metabolic challenge in it where you have to drink the, you know, it's like 100 grams of strength. Yeah, I have to do it again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I took my first test 6 months ago. I'm going to take my next one now. They measure in four or five different areas. So it's the most extensive gut bacteria you can take on the planet. Nobody else can get down to the detail this company can. And you take a metabolic test, determines, you know, gives you a good idea of where your macronutrient balance should be. So based on how your body reacts to this glucose challenge, plus several other things, they can tell you, you know, here's the macronutrient balance you should start with. Now, the interesting thing is every time I take one of these, I've done some metabolic challenges like this. I did the genetic testing with 23andMe. Clearly, in all of them, and this is interesting because they're all consistent, I should not be eating a lot of carbs. I shouldn't even be eating a moderate amount of carbs. I am a much better fat burner, and I don't tolerate carbs well. That genetically, it came up that way. On the Viome challenge, it came up that way. But what's surprising in all of them is they're all recommending I should be eating about twice as much protein as what I am. Going back to all of the everything else I've read about this, that, you know, we want to be moderate protein. But all of these tests keep coming back that I should be doing about twice as much protein.
And what is that in grams for you?
I think I've been trying to stay around 50 or 55 grams of protein a day. So Okay. They're talking like 100 to 120.
Oh, wow. That is a big difference.
Yeah, really big difference. So on my first Viome test, which I took after I had already been keto with a really clean diet for about a year and a half, almost 2 years anyway, I scored optimal in every category, which I was very excited about. But there was room for improvement. And that's kind of the idea behind the year-long program. After you get your results, then they start making recommendations. And then you test again to see if you improve. Well, I'm already an optimal, but if I can improve, I want to. But I got looking. I haven't changed much in the last 6 months. So I don't know that I'm going to see any real improvement unless it's just time that would do it. So I got thinking, what can I do different? I'm looking at the recommendations. They're always saying more protein. Mm-hmm. So I thought, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to try it because there's still a lot we don't know. And this is the only way I'm going to figure out. Hey, so I've been trying. Well, I can't. I just can't eat more. I'm
really?
Not getting the protein. Yeah. And if I do, then I find that I'm eating a lot less, you know, vegetables and the other things that I know I still need in my diet. I'm just not eating enough. So I had to look really hard at something I absolutely love and think about giving it up for a while. Any ideas what I'm talking about?
Oh, gosh. No, it's probably some funky kind of food.
No, it's not. It's
really?
It's where I get about 1,000 calories a day, and it's the reason I'm not eating.
You're bulletproof. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're bulletproof?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Well, can you just back up how much you're putting in it, you know?
Yeah, I guess I could. So I'm trying to decide. So I'm going to do this January 1st. I'm going to make it a nice clean break on January 1st. I'm going to take this second test, and pretty soon, you know, in a month or two, we should know the results on that. And I thought the only way I'm really going to make any significant change to the way I eat is I'm going to have to give up the bulletproof, because that 1,000 calories a day, I'm just not hungry. I don't really need to lose any weight. I'm happy with my weight where it is. So that, you know, if I give up the Bulletproof, that's at least another big meal I could eat every day with a lot more nutrition, and I could get the protein. So I'm going to try it. So right now what I've done is I've cut back to one cup of Bulletproof a day, and now I actually eat a meal at about 10 in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. It might be, you know, a mushroom guacamole burger with an egg on it. You know, might be, you know, a salmon salad with, you know, cod liver. So I'm going to try to make that meal really nutrient dense. And then I'll probably eat another big meal later in the day. So we'll see what happens.
That's interesting.
Because, yeah, I'll need to do that for at least like 6 months before I get another one of these biome tests. And that should be, you know, 6 months should be plenty if I'm going to make an actual change. If we'll see it in, you know, the gut bacteria, will we see it in the metabolic challenge? I don't know, but I'm a little worried. I love my Bulletproof coffee.
See, I only do, well, and keep in mind, I mean, if you do it on the smaller side of the fat in it, you know, Phil Maffetone's top Bulletproof coffee he recommends has an egg in it. He puts an egg in it when he blends it up. I only have Bulletproof maybe once, maybe twice a week, because it's when I really don't feel like I'm eating a meal, I'll have that. But I do find I'm, because I do watch my macros, I am very low then on protein if I don't. So, you know, and I have even eggs as it was on my fit test, but since I eliminated them for a while, I've been okay having them back in. I'll do a periodic Cocos Pulse test with that every other week or so. But for nutrition wise, I find I do better with a egg breakfast with some avocado and dress it up that way.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. That's going to be a big change for me because I've been really, really consistent for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I think that's it. Anything you want to talk about today? I know we have a lot of calls we can get to.
A quick clarification I wanted to say after our show last week, unfortunately it was a shortened show, but we did talk about, you were talking about some of the myths and some of the things out there, and we did touch on exercise like right at the end, and we didn't get to go into it a little bit more, and I'm so grateful. I love chatting with our highway people, and one of them was sharing, and he's an avid runner and loves it, and he's starting to be able to run more because of getting healthier and fit and feeling good. And he was concerned at first when he heard us say that, and so I wanted to clarify when we were talking about exercise not tied to weight loss. And that's all we were saying. You know, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. The guy I go to the gym, he says, like, you know, you almost put a wall up between the two. Think of them separately. We need exercise. We need movement. We're made for it. We just don't tie it to weight loss.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can't clarify that enough because as a society, we've tied the two so tightly together, it's hard for people to think of them, I guess, not really being related, and exercise not being a great way to lose weight, but good for so many other reasons. We'll talk about that more. We'll get to your calls and questions right after this. Kevin Rutherford, this is Destination Health. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. Kim, you know what? I think I'm going to save that for the next show. I think we're going to get some phone calls because we've got some questions. Let's start off in Virginia. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today?
I was calling about a family member of mine. My aunt, she's around 75 years old. She has high blood pressure. She has diabetes. But what I'm calling about today is lymphedema. The swelling of the bottom of her legs are swollen up extremely, you know, extremely large. was wondering, okay, is there any particular thing, what causes that, and, you know, what may be able to, we may be able to do to try to, you know, to combat that or alleviate it. The doctors had her wrap her legs up tightly, and that causes it to go down sometime, you know, just a little bit, but it doesn't go back to normal.
Yeah, and all the doctors are doing are try to cover up the symptoms. This is actually a sign of heart disease, and it's not a good sign either. And here's the thing. There's no quick, easy fix for this. You know, there isn't some herb or some supplement that I'm going to, you know, say, well, just take this, it'll fix it. We look at the whole history. She has diabetes and high blood pressure. Both of those are just, you know, a lifetime of a poor diet. And the heart disease is just part of that whole thing. In fact, there's a name for all of them together. Metabolic syndrome is what they call it, because all of these things are the result of eating that same high carbohydrate, you know, high processed food diet for decades. And the only fix, really, I don't want to give you any thoughts that, you know, there's going to be an easy fix. The only fix is she has to stop eating that way. And I, you know, I don't know how motivated, you know, somebody at 75 is going to be, but if you wanted to help her, it would be to move away from those processed high carbohydrate foods. You know, being a diabetic, the diet that they put her on is the absolute worst diet she should be on. She should be on a high fat keto diet. And that's really about the only thing that's going to start to turn all of these symptoms around, because they're all related.
Okay. I sure appreciate that. I will let her know.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I wish there were, you know, nutrients or supplements or Kim that I could say, well, try this, it's going to help. But it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
These are serious symptoms of, again, that she has the whole cluster of metabolic syndrome. You know, it starts with diabetes, high blood pressure, then we get to heart disease, and then we start to see, you know, all of the other things that go wrong. And, you know, she is 75 years old, but there are lots of, well, not lots, but there are healthy 75-year-olds. There's no reason
why
we're healthy at 75. And
exactly. There's many more years to live.
Yeah. And there's no reason you can't turn this around at 75. That's
right.
The beauty of our bodies is when you start doing the right thing, the way the body responds and starts to heal itself is really amazing.
Yeah, it truly is. That's what I hope everybody can grasp that. Like, no matter where you, like right now, no matter where you're sitting with your health, know how quickly you can turn it around, truly, with nutrition first. And that's what we're here for, to help you with.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of helping, let's get back to the phones and see what we've got. We're going to head off to Texas. Wade, welcome to the program. Wade, are you with me? Wade, well, we'll put you back on hold. We'll see. It doesn't sound like anybody's there. Let's go to Tennessee. Jason, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Kevin, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Two things. But first off, I want to say thanks for everything you do. I started keto on the 22nd of October, and I'm already down. Well, as of Monday morning, I was down 33 pounds. So it's amazing. The two things I called, I filled out a NutriQ, and Kim sent that back to me here a couple of weeks ago. And on the chart, it showed me high for cardiovascular stuff, and so I was just kind of want to get your take on that and maybe what I should be doing different there, and then you'll see what to do. The rest of it was like upper GI stuff, and being that I'd only been on keto for about a month, I'm kind of going to give that a little more time to see if some of that kind of levels itself out as I go on, because I don't seem to have the problems that I used to have in that area.
Good.
You know, it's gotten better in the last month or so, but the cardiovascular does concern me just a little bit. So
Yeah.
And so, then the other thing is wanting to get your opinion on the Apple Watch and the heart rate variability stuff with it, if you've had any research there. That's my
Okay. Let's you might have to remind me of that one because I'm really focused on your chart right now. You've got kind of an interesting chart. You're responding well to keto. That's excellent because a lot of things are going to clear up. So I think it's a good idea. You just do keto for a while. Let's see what fixes itself. There are a couple things we could probably add, though. The upper GI, the digestive, a lot of things get better with keto or paleo and digestion, but some things don't. Some things can actually get a little worse because we're changing the way you're eating. Most people end up eating more protein under keto or paleo. They certainly end up eating a lot more fat, and our body might not be ready for all that. And that's why we see some of these upper GI. I don't see a lot. So normally, you know, when it comes to the digestion, there's actually two or three supplements we recommend. I think for you, Kim, is it, you got to help me with the Zymes again. Does Intenzyme have a, I don't think it does it?
No. It's the Hydrozyme. And I was just going to look to see what we had chatted about, Jason.
It did recommend the Hydrozyme. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the questions that I think that from hearing, I've listened to almost every one of your podcasts since y'all started this. So from what I've listened to you say, a lot of the problems that you say relate to upward GI in the last month have continued to get better. You know, I don't have the heartburn. I don't have the pain in my chest sometimes from heartburn. A lot of that stuff's going away. So that's why I think maybe I want to hold out for maybe just none of that's going to kill me. It may be a little bit of discomfort, you know, but it's not going to kill me. I think I'd rather clean it up with a diet if I could. But the cardiovascular, I mean, if something happens to your heart, you wake up dead one morning. I mean, it's one of them things. So,
that's
you
right.
know, I don't, and that one kind of scared me, you know, when the cardiovascular was high. So,
yeah.
Kevin,
so,
I sent you his NAC from that as well, so you could see it.
Okay. So here's what I'm thinking, and Jason, you're right. Digestion, it can fix itself. It sounds like yours might already be fixing itself. Cardiovascular, we almost never address it directly. It's one of those things that it built up, and all of the cardiovascular problems we see build up over time because of a poor diet. They also fix themselves over time because of a good diet. And there's very little we ever do to directly address those issues. The one thing that came to mind, we have one supplement called Intenzyme. And if you eat it with food, it's a digestive enzyme. So it just helps break down the food better, helps us get all the nutrients out of it. If you take it away from food, it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory. And cardiovascular disease is inflammatory. So it's the one thing we could do to maybe start reversing some of the cardiovascular system symptoms and kind of give you a jump start on that. Other than that, I think doing the keto, keeping a really clean diet, you're going to see a lot of things get better. So you could just go without it. You could try that one and you would take it with food sometimes, without food other times, kind of get a dual benefit from it. The other one that really jumps out from me on your chart, though, is your immune system is off the charts.
And that's got better, too, since I started keto.
Okay, good. Good. And that's a good sign. You were probably, since you're already seeing the results, we don't need to do it, but you were probably reacting to a lot of foods. It is my guess.
Well, I'm sure I was reacting kind of like a lot of guys on here. You know, you thought you were doing good. You had whole wheat bread in your truck and you were eating that kind of stuff. You know, that's kind of where I was at. I thought I was doing good until I started listening to everything you've been doing and some of the books you've put out, you've told us to listen to and different things. And so when I started keto, I put the bread and all that away. I mean, I'm very strict carb. About the only thing I have, well, the only thing I got in my refrigerator right now that's carb at all is spinach. That is it. I mean, I don't, I don't do any carbs outside of my spinach during the week when I'm gone on the truck. That is
it.
And then when I'm home on the weekends, I'll get Brussels sprouts or turnip greens or something like that. But
good. Well, the carbs you're eating are excellent, by the way. I would say keep doing what you're doing. If you wanted to try anything, I might throw in the Intenzyme. But other than that, I think you're seeing great results on the keto. So keep checking in with us. Let us know. Retake the NutriQ when you feel like a lot of the symptoms have gone away. We'll see where you are. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. We're going to head off to Missouri. Maria, welcome to the program.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering if you could go into specifics or a little bit more detail as to what the benefits are as far as eating bone broth in relationship to the gut healing process. Why is it such an important aspect or part of the heart healing protocol or the gut healing protocol?
Got it. Okay, so there are several benefits from bone broth itself. And, you know, we talk a lot about gut healing, but bone broth is also really good for your immune system. It's really rich in a lot of the minerals that support the immune system, and it's the best form of the minerals we can get. You know, minerals can come in lots of different forms, and some our body absorbs really well, some it doesn't absorb very well at all. The bones themselves are where our bodies and animals' bodies store most of the minerals. That's what bones are, minerals. So when we slow cook or pressure cook those bones, either over a long period of time slow cooking or under high pressure with pressure cooking. And that's why we also put in some acid, like apple cider vinegar or lime or lemon juice, because that acid also helps pull even more minerals out of the bone. That's one huge advantage that really good for our immune system. When it comes to the gut, there are a lot of what are called healing compounds in there, collagen, glutamine, glycine, proline. Those are nutrients that are almost non-existent in the standard American diet. And bone broth is, and that's the compound we're getting out of there that you can cut.
All right. So is this something that we should be, if we're in the process of trying to fix our gut because we have leaky gut, is this something that we should really push for like a long period of time? What kind of, are we supposed to be feeling it different? What would be the recommendation? I'm assuming.
Okay. And Maria, when I answer this, I'm going to put you on hold because you have a lot of background noise and I feel like I'm shouting over it and I'm still getting drowned out. So the timeline, you know, there's ways we could approach this. One, we don't like to spend everybody's money on a lot of testing, but testing can give us some shortcuts. So sometimes we work with people and they say, look, I'm willing to spend the money. I want to do this right. So we could do a fit test so we know which foods to avoid because that can aggravate this. We can do a zonulin test to actually see what your level of leaky gut is, and that would really help us target. Or we can say, look, let's just do a gut healing protocol anyway. Let's skip the test. We'll do a gut healing protocol because, one, there's lots of nutrients in here. It hurts absolutely nothing, and almost everybody needs some gut healing. we sell our gut healing kits in two forms, 15 day and 30 day. Almost everybody ends up needing 30 days. But if the first step before you do anything with a gut healing kit, you have to clean up your diet. If we're still eating all the foods that are tearing up your gut, then you'd just be wasting your money on supplements. So the first step in gut healing is a clean diet. You know, very low carb, no processed foods, certainly no grains. You know, depending on the severity, again, we could go all the way to, you know, like a GAPS diet or a GAPS protocol or an elimination diet. But I find that people can just do a good paleo or a nutrient dense keto, and that does a lot of healing. If we don't get it all, then we can also add the gut healing kit. We could go further into an elimination diet. So it really depends on how much trial and error and how much you're willing to work through. But without any testing or anything else, if you went, you know, good clean paleo and the gut healing kit, you would be absolutely amazed at how many things change in 30 days. Kim, how many, you know, times have we worked with, you know, this kind of an approach, and the results are just amazing.
Yeah. And it's lifelong stuff that we're talking about too, that, you know, like we don't know how long necessarily it can take to heal leaky gut, but the things that you do as a part of that can be just benefit you long-term. Like we talk about, like the diet and the bone broth. I could see bone broth in your, you know, your kitchen, your, you know, truck, whatever, for forever, because there's just so many good benefits. Yeah. So, more and more.
Yeah, bone broth is just a really, really nutrient-dense food, and it's nutrients that we don't get in other parts of our diet. It's why some form of bone broth existed in almost every society before we had all this processed food, and it's like fermented foods. They went away. We didn't realize how important they were to our diet. So, Maria, I'm going to come back to you and see, does that help?
Yes, it does. It really does. Now, is this, I'm assuming, safe to give to our dogs and cats without the salt, I'm assuming?
We certainly feed bone broth to Diesel. Diesel eats, you know, we were told that dogs shouldn't eat people food. And that's true because people food was so bad. I mean, it was so bad, we shouldn't even be giving it to the dogs. But when you eat a good, clean diet, especially keto, most of the foods you eat would be really good for dogs. It's much closer to their natural diet. Kim, one of the books I read, maybe it was Go Wild, I forget. It's been one that I read a while ago.
Oh.
Explained why humans kind of adopted dogs. You know, and I know it's hard to believe. I still have a hard time getting my head around this. All dogs are descendants of wolves. How the hell we got from a wolf to a chihuahua that weighs 3 pounds? You know, or a greyhound or a mastiff, or, you know, dogs are so different, but their genes are still almost identical to wolves. There's very little difference. And wolves started following people because our digestive system and our nutritional needs are actually pretty similar. Now, dogs, you know, don't need really, or wolves, dogs don't need really any carbohydrates. Their diet is primarily protein, heavy protein, and fat. But, you know, when wolves kill an animal, the first thing they eat are all the organ meats. They chew the bones literally to powder and eat the bones. So the dogs, the wolves would eat the same things that we should be eating and that what we used to eat naturally. And it was a very symbiotic relationship. And that's kind of why we adopted wolves and they became, you know, our kind of standard pet. So it is good for dogs to eat the same food we eat if we're eating the right food. So if we're eating, you know, good quality proteins and you know, grass-fed and pasture, and people think, oh my God, you're paying all that money for the stuff, you're going to feed it to your dog. Yeah, I do, because it costs almost nothing. You know, I cook a couple steaks, or last night I did short ribs for Lisa and I. They were amazing, by the way. And, you know, Diesel gets a little out of all of it. So I didn't cook anything extra for him. Got a little of what we would have eaten anyway. A lot of times we'll pour bone broth over the protein we're giving him because he likes it that way. So all of those foods we talk about being really good for us, the one I would stay away from, I would be very, very careful with seafood. Never give seafood to dogs. Fish is okay. Like salmon, Diesel gets salmon. I make a snack for him out of salmon skin that he loves. But stay away from shellfish. So if you eat shrimp or crab or oysters or clams or things like that, which I love and they're nutrient dense, it's very, very common for a dog to have really strong allergic reactions to shellfish. So I would stay away from that. But organ meats, absolutely excellent for your dog. The bone broth is great. The eggs, you know, all of those things would be really good. So with that said, there's the music. We've got to get out of here. We're going to do it again. So we will see you next time. In the meantime, be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, so we are going to do a second hour. We're going to get to your questions. And I'll tell you right now, we actually have a lot of room for questions. So this is your opportunity. Jump in right now, press 1 on your phone, and I promise we will get to you. In fact, we might not even have enough questions if you don't jump in there. So we'll just go till we run out of questions or we do another hour. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs.
Back in your pocket.
Welcome back, or welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking, and today is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about everything health, food, fitness, nutrition, diet, lifestyle, exercise, training, drugs, disease, supplements, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. We're going to get to those calls in just a little bit. Kim, welcome.
Hi, Kevin. So glad to be here.
You know, one of the things we talk about a lot, and, you know, I just had another call over the weekend. Somebody's sister, I believe, I don't remember the relationship, but had some gallbladder pain, and they immediately took it out. And our medical system is very, very good at treating the gallbladder like it's a spare part, and they don't really work very hard to save it. Now, there are times when it's clearly a medical emergency, and if it gets to that point, unfortunately, you do have to take it out. But I would work very, very hard to save a gallbladder. It is, not only is it not a spare part, it is extremely important. See, when we believe that fat was bad for us and we should be eating a low-fat diet, if we eat a really low-fat diet, we wouldn't even need a gallbladder. but you won't be very healthy. And that's what we've seen. We've seen people get sicker and sicker as we, you know, moved away from fat. We're finally turning the corner on that, but now we still, you know, we've got to work to save that gallbladder. The gallbladder is what allows us to digest fat properly. You know, we always talk about the digestion issue, that, okay, if you don't have your gallbladder, you're going to take, bile salts with your meals. It's not a perfect system, though. It's almost like trying to manage your blood sugar with insulin. You know, for type 1 diabetics, it's next to impossible to get it right, to take the right amount. Bile salts can be the same way. It's not a perfect system. I would absolutely recommend, if you don't have a gallbladder, you should be taking bile salts every time you eat. But people don't, and they don't get the amounts right. And one of the things we haven't talked a lot about, you tend to find that people without a gallbladder suffer all kinds of weird health symptoms that nobody ever really puts together to figure out why. You know, deficiencies. Talk to women without a gallbladder. They almost always have cracked heels. And, you know, they're trying to find the best cream to fix it. Well, you know, things will help, but that needs to be fixed from the inside out, not the outside in. They tend to have dry, brittle nails and hair, drier skin. When you start, they tend to have sleep issues and more anxiety. And when you look at all of these symptoms, nothing seems to make sense until you start looking at each one and saying, okay, what is a possible cause of that? Cracked heels? Your body's low on essential fatty acids because you're not digesting the fat properly. That goes for the hair, the skin, the nails, the anxiety, and some of the other things. What it all comes back to, when you start breaking these things down and looking at them, is they are all symptoms of a deficiency in four vitamins, A, D, E, and K. And Kim, why would that be? Why would we be deficient in A, D, E, and K if we don't have a gallbladder?
We're not digesting the fats.
And those are all fat-soluble vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat foods crazy high in those vitamins. You could take all the supplements you want, but if there isn't fat available and we're not emulsifying the fat with bile, you'll never absorb those vitamins. And this has been a challenge, and this is why it's so hard. You know, when we're working with people without a gallbladder, we run into roadblocks. These four vitamins are critically important. In fact, they're now saying we should have never called it vitamin D because it's right. Way more powerful than vitamins. It acts much more like a hormone, and, you know, really, really important stuff. And we should be getting D from the sunshine, but this time of year, you know, you're not. So the reason I brought this up, I've looked for solutions to this, and you know, you've got to get somebody to be really, really strict on their bile salts, and that's a lot. I just got a visit yesterday from some wonderful people from Biotics. They actually stopped by the house. Yeah, they actually stopped by the house to wish us a Merry Christmas and drop off some gifts, and we do a lot of work with Biotics. And they have some new products, and one of them, as soon as I saw it, I thought, duh, why haven't we been doing something like this before? They actually now have a product. It's liquid, they're drops, and it's vitamins A, D, E, and K already emulsified in oil.
Is that new?
It is new. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, they've always had the Bio D emulsion. That's the vitamin D that I recommend.
Mm-hmm.
It works really, really well. I've you know, looked at people's results when they were very low on vitamin D in a test, and you can now do vitamin D tests at home. We talked about that on the last show. I just did one. I'm waiting for the results to come back. They've always had a version of this, an oil emulsified vitamin D, and it by far is the best vitamin D I've ever found. Now they went further and they said, wait a minute, why just do D? Why not do all four of the fat soluble vitamins already emulsified in fat? So we don't need bile salts to absorb these. They're already emulsified. They're already broken down by the fat and the lipids, and our body just absorbs them. Really simple product. You just put drops on your tongue every day. So for a lot of people, you're probably deficient in these vitamins anyway. People without a gallbladder are almost always deficient. So we're going to work to get this one into the store. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, very much so. And that's another reason why, too, when we do the NutriQ and we do, and we've gone back and forth about this, too, whether to send out the client recommendations, you know, or not. We always, in the email, we have recommendations when people get the results and they get the recommendations of supplements and so forth. You know, give us a call, too, because we always like to look at it, you know, specifically and recommend our baby step approach to it. So that's when you call the show or emails into support, but because that particular wouldn't come out on it. So, you know, that's right. Why we always recommend getting a little bit of personal contact here.
Yeah. Again, I'm excited about this one. This is one I would recommend for everybody without a gallbladder. Just make it a point to take this every day. I think people will be amazed at some of those weird little symptoms that they just live with that nobody knows what they are. And nobody ever puts it all together to say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have a gallbladder. You're just missing all these fat-soluble vitamins, and they're clearly the most important. So excited about that. They had one other product that I thought was interesting. There is something that you read a lot about in natural circles. There's all kinds of programs on the market, and you and I don't do it very often. We both agree on this. We've done it a couple times in what we thought were more extreme cases. What are we talking about?
You're testing me today. You are. I was thinking while you're talking too. Like what?
I know. Yeah. We did it with Vic.
So, with the adrenals or the detox? Detox.
We don't do it much. Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the reasons why I don't, you went through the detox. It's a little rough, isn't it?
Kind of. I didn't think it was too bad, but and the reason why we don't have people do it is that we don't have them do it when they're more on the unhealthy side. We try to get them to, you know, get them healed a bit to do it. That's our big thing with detoxes. But I felt like I was okay. So then it was more of like a tightening up, and it was more of a psychological thing for me too. But personally, I enjoyed it. Like the one that we did. Yeah.
So I think, you know, that kind of especially if you're not careful to get somebody to the right point before you do the detox, it can be pretty rough. And I think that Biotics was getting a lot of feedback where, you know, the detox was a little harsh. So they've updated it, and I love what they've done. So we'll talk about that.
Oh, nice.
When we get back, and then we'll get to your calls and questions. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rothberg. Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. So, Kim, they've made a couple changes, and I think they're both really good. One of them is going to be way better for our clients if they do end up doing a detox. They've taken out a couple of the components that made it a little more harsh. So it's not quite as harsh as it used to be. The other thing that they've done, which I think is great for our clients, you know how, remember, it comes in that big tub, all the stuff, and you got to measure, mix. Now they've done all individual packets.
Oh, for the two drinks. Well, there's two drinks. Yeah. So they did.
Right.
Okay.
The two drinks now come in individual packets. You open up a package, you mix it, you're done. You're not measuring.
Okay.
So for somebody in the truck, that's probably a lot more convenient. So that was another update that I got from them yesterday. Let's see. Anything else going on? Anything you can think of?
Well, that's what's nice about the supplements, too. They come in. They already have pre-measured like 30 packs of them, you know, and so
Right. Really
nice.
Right.
Or might even be more, but
Yeah, now it's really easy because now you've got, you know, it's all measured out. It's, you know exactly when you take, what you take, how much you take. When you're done, you're done. So it's not that we're against detox, but we don't like doing it up front. It's way too harsh on most people, and a lot of times it doesn't work. And many times, by the time we get them to the point where we might do a detox, so many things have fixed themselves that I believe the body detoxes on its own in a lot of cases. You know, if you clear the pathways, if the diet's nice and clean, if we've taken a fit test and eliminated those reactive foods, by the time we get somebody to the point where we would be comfortable doing a detox, they don't need it anymore a lot of times.
Yeah, this is good.
Yes, absolutely. So what do you say we get some phone calls?
Sounds great.
All right. Let's start off in North Dakota. Jen, welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What can I help you with today?
Good. I had the Viome test done, and I got results back. And I was just kind of curious if you'd go over them with me. They're a little confusing.
I will.
Some things, so thank you.
They are really confusing. And let me start off by explaining some of the results we're looking at and why it's confusing. And some of this I'm not going to be able to clear up for you. Nobody can. This lab, Viome, and I talked about, you know, my Viome results. I'm taking my second now, and I'm going to re-up again for another year. And I'm going to pretty radically change my diet again and see how that affects my results. I had taken mine after being on a very, very clean keto diet for almost 2 years. And I wish I would have had it before I ever started, because I think the results would have been wildly different. But I was optimal in every category, which I was excited about. But I was towards the lower or middle part of optimal, and I want to get to the top. So I'm going to figure out a way to get there. When we look at the gut bacteria, this is such new science. 10 years ago, nobody, if you said gut bacteria, they would have looked at you like you had three heads. We had no idea that, first off, we had that much gut bacteria, how important it was. But we also didn't realize that there are thousands of strains. And most of them, 90% of them, we have no idea what they do. We do know there are some good strains. We know there are some bad strains. And then we have a whole bunch that we don't know anything about. But what we do know is this is really the future of medicine. What we thought for a long, long time was that genetics and genes were going to be the future of medicine. And it made sense until we figured out that genetically, we are really, really simple creatures. We thought for sure we would have the most complicated genetic code on the planet, and we could not have been more wrong. There are, and this is not a joke, there are worms that are more genetically complicated than we are. And that seems kind of crazy. Yeah, so the the company 23andMe, which does genetic testing, the reason for 23 is that's how many pair of chromosomes we have. We only have about 23,000 genes. It's not that many. Like I said, there are worms that have 30,000. So it really stumped the researchers in the medical community. Like, if we're not complicated genetically and we can't tie any of these genes to all of our disease issues, now what? Well, we were kind of on the right track. It is genetic. The thing is, it's not our genes, though. So if we look at all of the genetic material in your body, all of the DNA, if we look at every bit of it, only 1% is human.
Hmm.
I want to let that sink. Yeah, that's really crazy.
Yeah.
We thought genetics were going to solve this. The problem is most of our genetics, 99% of the DNA in our body, of the genetic material, is bacteria. Only 1% is really ours. Only 1% is human. That I repeat that every time I say it because it just, I still can't get my head around it. The other crazy thing, and this is probably good news, your genes you're stuck with. I mean, we know we can express them, turn them on and off with diet and lifestyle, but we can't really change them. The gut bacteria, we can change in 24 hours. So if we have bad results and it's genetic, the good news is we can change most of the genetic material in our body. It's in our gut bacteria. We just don't know much yet. So this company that you tested with and I did as well, Viome, they have the most sensitive test for this on the planet. Nobody else even comes close. They can test the strain, the species, the down 3 and 4 levels. So there's all this information, but we're not really sure what to do with a lot of it yet. We're still learning.
Right.
Right. So the one thing we do want to do is start to move that gauge. You know, you looked at your gauge where they, you know, give you the little needle and you're in the red or the yellow or the green. We just want to keep moving that to the right. That's what we want to do. And we do it by what we do know. You know, that if we eat processed food, that's not good for our gut bacteria. If we eat, you know, foods with high carbohydrates, sugars, and fructose, not good for our gut bacteria. If we eat clean, high fat, if we don't take antibiotics, there's a lot of things we can do. If we eat fermented foods, all of those things will start to improve our gut bacteria. So that was one part of it. And again, you know, there's lots of ways we could go about this. We could, you know, make sure there's no leaky gut. We could make sure there's no SIBO, eat a good, clean paleo diet. We could make sure we're not, you could do a zonulin test to see if you have leaky gut, because that's really going to cause problems with gut bacteria. So the way you improve your results on here is all the things we always talk about. The other thing that they tested was the metabolic challenge. And what that tells us is how well is your body handling carbohydrates? And it gives us an idea of how we should be eating as far as a macronutrient balance. Some people can tolerate more carbohydrates. Some don't tolerate carbohydrates well at all. And if we don't, so here, I had to do a lot of digging to figure out this on mine because I don't tolerate carbohydrates. I've done genetic testing to prove that. I did this metabolic challenge to prove it. But yet I scored really high on the metabolic challenge. So I thought, I'm not understanding how this works. So I worked with the people at Viome and I did some research. What happens is they're testing how well your metabolic systems are responding. So because I had been eating a very high fat, low carbohydrate diet for 2 years, the metabolic markers were strong. But if I were to go back to eating a lot of carbohydrates, my score would start to drop on that. So once you identify, you know, what a good macronutrient balance is for you, the longer you stay in that range, the healthier your metabolic results are going to be. So the reason is, if we eat too many carbohydrates, our body keeps releasing insulin, and then our body becomes more and more resistant to that insulin. That's when you're going to start scoring bad on the metabolic challenge. Does that all make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Let me get to a break because the music's playing. I'll come back and I'll see if you have any specific questions, because I know I just went over the whole test from a very high level there in general. See if you have any specific questions about it, I can help you out. Stick around. We'll be right back. Kevin Rothberg. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me, and we are talking with Jen in North Dakota. So, Jen, were there any specific questions I might be able to help you with?
There was a couple little things in here. Like, what does this RNA mean?
Oh,
that was
I'm
super
glad
high.
You brought that up.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not. It's really low. They need to fix that chart, because that chart is
okay.
So confusing. You're actually, I won't even try to go through it because they just need to fix that chart. What they were looking for there is RNA is similar to DNA. RNA will help us identify human cells. So what they're looking for is are there a lot of human cells in your gut? And if there are, it's because you have a lot of inflammation in your gut and your body is shedding off those cells. So that's what they're looking for. It gives us the same kind of idea as the zonulin test I just talked about. It's a good indication of, you know, do you have things like leaky gut or Crohn's or ulcerative colitis? If you do, a lot of RNA is going to show up in that sample. You showed up really low. I did as well, and then when I took the zonulin test, I was in the optimal level on the zonulin test. So based on your results, there are clearly improvements you could make in your gut bacteria, and there are clearly improvements you could make in the metabolic challenge, but the good news is it looks like your gut itself is in good condition. It doesn't look like you have leaky gut or any of the inflammatory type digestive issues.
Okay, because I do have like a really high C-reactive protein when I've taken tests like that. So my inflammation levels are high, and I do have a lot of issues with my digestive system. So that's why I was very surprised when that came back kind of in the, lower range versus what I thought it was going to be.
Maybe I'll go back and look at it again. I swear they the way they do this chart is really confusing. And there are clearly other things we could look at on digestion for you. If you're having digestive issues, it may be other things. The zonulin test, I believe, is much more conclusive rather than this RNA. I mean, they test it because they're already in there doing that, but I'm not wild about the RNA. I think the zonulin is much, much better indicator of whether we're dealing with leaky gut or not. Now, your inflammation, your C-reactive protein, that's a great test.
Yep.
I love that one. But we don't always know where is that inflammation coming from. So you may have a healthy gut, no inflammation in your gut, but you could have inflammations in your joints, in your heart, in, you know, all kinds of places. So if we know that your C-reactive protein is high, we know there's inflammation somewhere. We've got to go figure out what it is and how we're going to address it. So we might do, like I say, the zonulin test, see if it's there. We could look at other symptoms. But we also know if C-reactive protein is high, you should probably be on an anti-inflammatory diet to get it down.
Right. See, I've done the keto, and I don't, like, everybody talks about weight loss with keto. So then when I got these results back, like, I never seen any of that. Like, I've done a Whole 30, and I've never seen any, you know, weight loss with any of that either. But
yeah,
my macros on here, what it says, I should be eating less fat than what you probably should, more protein, because it's only said 30% fats, 40% protein, and 30% complex carbs.
Correct, which is
my plate should look like. So
yeah, kind of what they are recommending, that I up my protein and decrease my fat a little bit. And I fought against it. Now I thought, you know what, I'm never going to know unless I try it. So I'm going to do at least a 6-month experiment where I cut my fat down, increase my protein. I'll take the test again. We'll see what happens. It's the only way I'm going to know. If you didn't get results on keto, and if digestion is right, that's the first place we look, then especially with women, it always comes back to hormone balance. So we have to start finding the ways to fix adrenals and pituitary. And if things are pointing towards thyroid's the most complicated of all of them. Then we've got to go do some more testing, and thyroid testing has to be done right, and you have to be looking at it right. So we don't jump in right to thyroid first. We look at digestion. We look at some of the other hormone balances. Can we get those right? And those are usually the biggest roadblocks for weight loss with women on keto.
Can I add a little bit? Hi, Ben.
Go ahead.
Darcy had, I remember she shared this was a while ago, where she was doing some research on hormones and women. That's where we talked about those gentle carbs. Do you remember that? That was a while ago. So Jen, when I'm looking at your stuff, even though it says like 30, 30, 40, and it says you can actually go down like anywhere between 24, you know, find your own range. But it's cool that the complex carbs they do talk about are the ones that, you know, the sprouted mullet, the sprouted quinoa, which is a grain. And I looked at your food recommendations. That to me was what was fascinating, was what it recommended you, your food list, stuff to indulge in or enjoy or avoid. And it all looked just really, really, it's right in line too with a little bit with, you know, how we talk, but and any of the grains, any of the stuff, and is the sprouted stuff. And it was neat to see that they did that. So the diet wise, it looked really good.
Yeah. The first time I looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't eat like anything.
I know.
You know, like garlic and cabbage and like avocados and things, you know, like heavy cream, like things that you would use like on keto. And then the second night, I just didn't look at it for a little while. So then when I opened it back up again and looked at it, I'm like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought.
And mine was interesting because the foods that it recommends for me are all foods that I do really well on, but they are all very high fat, high protein. So mine is like, I should be indulging in beef and salmon and a lot of greens, you know, not necessarily a lot of vegetables, certainly almost no fruits, but a lot of greens. They had, you know, spinach, kale, broccoli, you know, cabbage, those kind of things. But a lot of high fat, high protein foods for me, which is fine because it's all the stuff I eat anyway, and I do feel good. So it looks like they nailed.
Yeah, and mine's more like just like bok choy and cucumbers, you know, like my vegetables to like indulge in. And,
right.
There's not, and my meat's more like chicken, so it's the leaner, you know, the white meat, so is what they say, in game meat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to figure out how, you know what I mean, just a whole different process again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you're right. There's a lot of information in there. It's almost overwhelming. I've gone back to mine multiple times, and almost every time I do, I learn more. So now I'm really interested to see what my second test is going to look like.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. But when you were talking before about like hormones and stuff, I don't remember in the NutriQ if my thyroid was one that was scored high. I know my digestive always scored really high, almost like off the charts high when I've taken them before.
And that's really where we would address then. That's probably why you're getting the stall on keto. You know, if we're not digesting food right, then that's going to throw everything off. Because the whole point is we have to get this nutrition to your body to make all this work, especially women who tend to eat a lot more low fat. They've been doing it for decades. Their gallbladder just isn't working anymore. And if they're not digesting the fat, it's hard to get good results on keto, because in order to get into ketosis, we need that fat.
Right. And I think that is part of my problem. I know I did like a super low fat, you know, diet for a year or two. And then after that, that's when I noticed all of my health issues.
Right.
And a lot of weight gain back again when you started eating just foods, even if they were, you know.
Right.
So there's where I kind of have a problem. And I know when you were talking in the last show about like your dry heels and like your skin, that's totally me. I mean, I can take all the omega supplements possible, but it doesn't help.
Won't matter. Right. Right.
No, I've done like an omega test. I am low, but
Yeah. And you know, you may want to really consider the new supplement I just talked about, the Bio A, D, E, and K. That's a great way to jumpstart it. And obviously bile salts with your meals.
Yeah.
Getting the entire digestive system working right is really what it takes to turn those things around. But it's amazing. I've worked with people who've had horribly cracked heels for years or decades. And when you get this fixed, it goes away completely. It's really amazing. So do a lot of other things get better too. Fat really is critically important to our diet and our health. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come right back, get to some more calls right after this. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim, so I just pulled up Jen's knack here, and he sent it over to me. This explains everything she just talked about. She does have digestive issues, so we know we're not getting the fat digested, and we're probably not digesting proteins well. Adrenal, pituitary, thyroid, she's off the charts on all three. And also vitamin needs. So those A, D, E, and K, all those symptoms I talked about that show up as vitamin needs, because all of this revolves around fat and not being able to digest it. And even on keto, you could be eating a lot of this fat, but if you can't digest it, all of these things are going to suffer. So yeah, we would take the same approach with Jen that we do with a lot of people. Let's fix digestion. You know, let's start there. We have to start being able to digest this fat. And then let's see what else starts to fix itself. The new weapon that I absolutely love in cases like this is going to be this Bio A, D, E, and K.
Yeah, it looks great. I was looking at it out on Biotic's site. So getting ready to get it into the store.
Yeah. Yeah, because again, we keep fighting this hormone issue. And we know that stress plays a big part in this, but we've even had some, the problem with stress, it's so darn hard to measure. You know, we can look at somebody's diet and know exactly what they're doing right or wrong. Stress is so subjective. You ask somebody, do you feel stressed? Some people say, yes, I'm stressed all the time. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Some people say, oh, no, I don't feel stressed. And yet they are. It's very, very hard to measure. But the more I kept looking at this, the more I kept saying, there's something else going on here. There's another component. Well, if we think about it, all of the hormones need building blocks. And most of those building blocks for hormones are the fat-soluble vitamins. So it might be this vicious circle again. If we're not digesting the fat, we're not getting vitamins, we're not building the hormones, and the hormones stay out of whack no matter how hard we try to fix them. So I'm really excited about this. I think this is going to give us one more tool that's going to help us.
Yeah, I am too. This looks amazing, actually.
Yeah. I'm glad they brought it out. Let's get back to some calls. Let's go to Minnesota. Dean, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. I got a couple questions. You were talking about putting that broth. I do a lot of soups. Okay. How much would you put like in a soup? I do about, I suppose, 2 gallons at a time, and then I make them into small containers. If you'd use 2 gallons, would you pour in like a box or part of a box, or how much would you do it?
You mean how much of the bone broth? I'm not sure what you're asking. How much of what?
The bone broth, would you put in like in 2 gallons of soup, chili that I would be making?
Oh, okay.
Would you? Yeah, and I'd just put that in extra.
When you talk about a box, the boxed bone broth that you buy at the store, I'm not a big fan of that stuff. I use a lot of boxed broths when I cook, whether it's chicken broth or chicken bone broth. But I don't treat those, the stuff that I can buy on the shelf at the store, like bone broth. And I'll tell you why. You can stick that stuff in the refrigerator and it still pours like water. That's a problem. The whole point of bone broth, when I stick homemade bone broth in the refrigerator, it turns to jello. That's what we're looking for. I mean, I literally have to melt it when I take it out of the refrigerator, because it's got all that, you know, all those things we talk about, the collagen, the glutamine, all of those things that we know they're there because that's what makes it gel like that. So I wonder, they call those things bone broth, but I don't get it. They're completely thin. They have none of that stuff. They don't have that richness. So go ahead and use it. I use it too, but I don't treat it like I'm really getting bone broth when the way we talk about bone broth. I think that's got to be homemade. I have seen some grocery stores that actually carry it frozen, and it's really expensive, and it is homemade or made in very small batches, but it's really expensive when you can find it. So to really get the benefits of bone broth that we talk about, you got to make it. But to answer your question, I use those kind of box broths when I cook all the time. Put as much in as you want. I mean, whatever works good for your recipe. Like in chili, it doesn't take much because I want my chili to be thick. In chicken soup, you know, I can use a lot more broth. Although for all of those things, when I make them at home, chili, any kind of soup, I do really use my homemade bone broth as much as I can. That way, the flavor is amazing. You get really rich chili, really rich soups. But I'm also getting more and more bone broth when I cook with it, drink with it. You know, it's one of those things that the more you get, the better you're going to feel.
Are you going to get any benefits out of
that? Oh, you were breaking up. Say that again.
He dropped.
Yeah, I think we've completely lost him there. We are going to go to Oklahoma. Gary, welcome to the program.
Well, hi. So I just wanted to, I had a gal that I was helping up in Duluth or whatever, well, still am. And she gave up smoking, but she went to the e-cigarette, and here she, for over a year, she's been stalled at the same weight, and she kept trying different stuff, and I kept telling her it's her e-cigarette, you know, just jokingly, didn't even think about it. So here she started reading the ingredients, and so she found one that didn't have any sweetener in it, and she's her belly's finally going, just started going down within a week, not even a week of changing what she was using. She said she's not ready to give up her smoking. So there's sugar, there's sweeteners in the chemical that they're dumping in that e-cigarette.
That's crazy. So I wasn't even thinking along those lines, but, and I know this is a really controversial topic, and this really pisses some people off. You know, they clearly, we need to quit smoking. I mean, we know how bad smoking is. Nobody on the planet would argue that anymore. But are these e-cigarettes really any better? There's so many reports and so much controversy. One of the things that I see is, look, I just can't imagine that any kind of smoke in our lungs over and over and over can be a good thing. I just don't see how that could ever be healthy. And lots of the reports, we don't know half the crap they're putting into these liquids. They're all flavored and now sweetened. And I've read that there's, you know, 100 times more compounds in the smoke than there is in regular cigarette smoke. I'm afraid that 10 years from now, we're going to find out the truth. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but I can't imagine that there aren't negative consequences to these e-cigarettes.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, I've been trying to get her to get off of them and stuff, but she's got a lot of stresses in her life, and that's her crutch, you know, so that's, she said when, you know, basically when she's ready, she's ready, she's going to do it. So, and that's with anybody. If you want to do something, it's got to be up to you, nobody else.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I didn't know this about sweet in there. It's even more interesting, Kim, that is it really possible that the sweetener in that smoke could have been blocking keto? That would be a new one on me.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard telling. You think about it. I mean, it's going to get absorbed into your system still somehow, right? Or your, you know, just your body's insulin reaction to, you know, sweets as soon as they hit, you know? Yeah, it's very fascinating.
Well, and we have to think about this. Again, we always talk about anything that our body didn't evolve with could cause problems. You know, we evolved over lots and lots of years. We'll just leave it at that. We know that the closer we go back to eating the way we evolved, the healthier we are. And when we eat things that aren't real food or our body didn't evolve with, we know we get all kinds of usually very negative consequences. Well, you know, they can come out with all the studies they want that say that these things are better than cigarettes. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But I've heard there are thousands of compounds in that smoke, and none of them are things we evolved with. So how can it not create all kinds of havoc in our body? And you're never going to see, you know, tests or results that would show all that. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling 10 years from now, we're going to find out like a lot of things. You know, we thought margarine was going to be really good for us. Now we know better. It's happened so many times. That's not real. It's not natural. I wouldn't want it in my body. All right. We're all out of time. Thanks, Kim. Thanks, everybody. And we will see you next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We will see you this weekend for the live show.